The You Haven't Seen That movie podcast is funded by you. Thank you. Support the show by going to patreon.com/WDM1. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the You Haven't Seen That movie podcast, a bi-weekly podcast where my guests and I watch a famous movie I've never seen before and discuss it. This week, we're talking about Tombstone, a 1993 classic starring Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, and Sam Elliott. I'm your host, David Lonnie Waters, and in my guest chair today, we have Wade Lynch. How's it going, Uncle Wade?
It's going great.
Oh, my goodness.
Good to be here.
Yeah, no, it's good to have you. So I guess, yeah, right off the top, everybody realizes that, yeah, you're my uncle. So my mom's older brother, is that right?
No.
No.
Your mom's youngest brother.
Older youngest brother. Oh, I didn't.
So she's number two. She's number two. I'm number three.
I didn't realize that. That's funny. Wait, okay, I don't want to get into age. I told you your old is showing earlier. How old are you?
46.
Oh, my goodness. And look at you, 1993 movie. You're my Huckleberry.
2 years before I graduated high school.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice. Wait. Oh, wow. That's interesting, because I was born in
94. A year after your mom graduated.
Oh, I see. Nice. Well, it's good to have you here, Uncle Wade. I'm really glad that we're going to get to do Tombstone together. This is a big blockbuster I'm sure everybody's been waiting for, so.
I've only seen it probably 30 times.
Just to give you like a little introduction, like my Uncle Wade and I, you're the first one that got me into Game of Thrones. Do you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, but I remember one time, so our family has a farm out in East Texas, and I just remember one time we were just chilling out there, and you were like, have you read these books? And I was just like, no. That's like honestly the first time I had ever heard of Game of Thrones. And I was just like, I think it was shortly after that they started releasing the actual TV show and stuff.
Yes, the HBO.
Have you watched it at all?
I watched some of it. But it's a lot different than the books. So
yeah, so I've heard towards the tail end, it gets a little liberal with the material.
The tail end of it, they've never released the last two books.
That is right. Yeah,
that was they worked with George R. R. Martin on that, and that was completely scripted from what he wanted to do with the.
I'm sure he's gonna like go a different direction with the books just to sell the books a little bit more.
Oh, if he even writes the books, because he already pissed everybody off with doing that with the show first.
Honestly, I think it's gonna turn into like one of those Lord of the Rings situations where the writer dies and like his sons or whatever family and, has like where they write different Wheel of versions. Time. Yeah.
Wheel of Time, Brandon Sanderson or Robert Jordan wrote it and had all these notes on where he was taking it. And Brandon Sanderson went in and finished like the last three books.
He wanted to go his own direction.
He's like, well, no, he took the notes that Robert Jordan had put there and he wrote in the same style and he just carried on.
Wait, so that brings up a question. Are you an avid reader?
Yes and no.
Why do you say
that? I don't read as much paper books anymore as I do listen to audio.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you know, that's how I got through, I think it was the third Game of Thrones book, because that one was long. I was like, no, I don't want to mess with that. So I'm just going to listen to it. So
yes, I read the first Game of Thrones book and then found out, oh, there's audiobooks. And I was working 10 hours a day.
Right.
So why not do your work and listen to a book?
Right. So, just throw on the AirPod and just go along your business. Yep. Do you have one of those jobs that you can do that?
Yes, kind of. They took our headphones away from us, so we couldn't actually do them. And now they have released two different sets of headphones that you can use.
Oh, that's kind of odd.
But because, well, I work industrial, so in manufacturing. So the headphones that they have allowed us to get are the headset, the ones that cover your whole ear. But they only go up so loud, and then they have an ambient mic on them, so you can hear people talking around you.
Oh, okay. So, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. I was just like, man, they just like chose two pairs of headphones. Like,
yeah, but they chose them, and one, the cheapest pair is $78, and the other one started off at $88, and it shot up whenever everybody started buying them to $119.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
So I still don't own a pair of headphones for work.
Yeah, that would kind of drive me crazy, especially working. You're on a computer most of the day, or you're like hands on type stuff?
I work for Lockheed. I build the F-35.
Oh, wow.
I install wiring harnesses on the F-35.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're hands on. So, yeah, yes. That makes a little sense. I know
all day long.
I know Mom and Wanda, my other sister, they work at the factory, and I think they allow them to have a headphone in, but like, that's just so tactile
actually able to hear something if somebody's talking to you.
Right. Yeah. I guess that's important.
Because ours, they always told us that you can have one headset in. Okay, I have no problem with that. I can tune you out and just listen to my book or listen to music or whatever I'm listening to at the time.
So okay, yeah, that's cool. I never knew that. So I guess Uncle Wade, before we get into Tombstone, how have you been lately?
Doing good.
Yeah,
writing music.
Yeah, that is right. You know, I think it was on our other podcast, Into the Zeitgeist, that I shouted you out. I'm not sure how, man, actually speaking of it, I have it right here. Our last episode was about the Got Milk advertising campaign. Have you ever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everybody remembers
come
that.
Come on. One.
Yeah.
Who hasn't seen Got Milk?
Right, yeah. And I think
that's where all of those Got shirts came from.
You know what? I think at the end of this, I'll stitch your song at the end of it. Didn't you release that new one?
Yes. Yay. We released the first one in October, on October 12th. And then we released Never Let It Show on my birthday on the 19th.
Oh, very cool.
Of January.
That one, that's the one you gave me a little sneak preview of whenever we were over there for, I think it was Thanksgiving?
Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas.
No, it's Christmas.
Yeah. And I love that song. That song is good. So I think if you send me the audio, I'll stitch it towards the end.
Okay. Yeah, that's been the reception of that song. It was the better of the two, but we didn't want to release it first.
Right. Yeah, and get a little warm up in.
Yeah. So, and I've got all the ones ready to record. We have the third one that we'll record that was Grandma's Christmas present.
Oh, really? I didn't realize
you did that. It's professionally recorded.
Yeah.
And everything. So we'll release that one April 28th.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
And then I have to go back in studio and record the next three.
Nice.
That we release around July 4th, sometime in September, maybe on Jessica's birthday.
Oh.
And then one in December. When we release in December, we'll release a six track EP.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
So
it's like a year long project, I see.
Well, whenever I recorded the first two, my producer told me, he's like, if you record six songs and put out an EP that nobody's ever heard of you, they're going to listen to two songs and the other four are going to die.
That is true.
So he's like, so go in, we'll record these two, release the first one right after you get them, and then 3 months later, release the next one, which worked out being right at my birthday.
Right. See, and yeah, that only makes sense. That's what a lot of people do nowadays. They just hit singles. That's, you know, the way to go. So
yeah, they'll release a couple of songs off of their album, and then they'll drop the entire album.
Interesting. So interesting. Well, I'm glad, because I love your music. It's good. I have the CD sitting right over there, right beside my right beside all my computer games. So.
Right. Mistake and put that in. You're not playing anything.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Let's get into a little housekeeping before we get into it. If you want to show your support for the You Haven't Seen That Movie podcast, consider checking out our Patreon at patreon.com/WDM1. Also consider joining our Facebook and Instagram pages to know when new episodes go live. And we also have a voicemail, and I think I would hope that a lot of people have opinions on Tombstone. So that number is 940-204-4582. 940-204-4582. So, Uncle Wade, one last little opening segment. What have you been watching lately?
Let's see. Since Yellowstone ended the season, I've been keeping up with 1883, which is the prequel story of Yellowstone.
You know, a lot of people have told me about that. Is it good?
It's really good.
What's it about specifically?
Okay, so Yellowstone is about the Dutton Yellowstone Ranch in Montana.
Oh, okay.
And they jump back every now and then to his parents and what happened whenever they got to Montana. 1883 is telling their story, starting in Fort Worth and driving up through Oklahoma and going up. They're on a trip to Oregon. There's a bunch of settlers that are wanting to go to Oregon to start their lives, and they have no idea what they're doing. So
what's that on? Do you know?
It's on Paramount Plus.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to look into that, because I just finished The Sopranos, and I like The Sopranos a lot. But
I never got into The Sopranos.
I'm trying to find something else to watch, like some long form like TV. So I think that may be a good one.
If you like Westerns and everything, that's a good one to start. Mm-hmm. Go back. Yellowstone is four seasons in now.
Oh, is it?
So, and it just drags you in.
Isn't Sam Elliott?
You
want to
know what happens. Sam Elliott is in 1883.
Oh,
okay. He is the guide bringing them up through from Fort Worth.
Oh, isn't
it's a bunch of German immigrants that are going to Oregon.
Oh, I see.
But he hooks up
Tim McGraw.
Tim McGraw and Faith Hill.
Oh, see, yeah.
Yes.
Power couple.
they are the Dutton patriarchs.
Oh.
They are John Dutton, who is the father in Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm.
It is his, I believe, great grandfather.
Oh, interesting.
So it's either great grandfather or grandfather.
Well, again, so, definitely gonna have to check it out, because I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Yes, it's, and your Uncle Mark is in 1883.
Is he really?
Yes, he is in the second episode.
Isn't he's like an extra or something?
Billy Bob Thornton walks into a bar with a group of people, and he walks up, and there's this, when he's walking on screen, there's a table right there, people playing cards, and your Uncle Mark is right there, and he just kind of ducks back out of the way.
Oh, well, that's cool. I remember them saying something like he was in a TV show or something, and
that was it.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that big of a thing.
Well, the guy that wrote Yellowstone in 1883 lives right around here in Fort Worth.
Oh, does he? Oh.
Taylor Sheridan. Hmm. And he owns a huge ranch, and he actually has a city built on his ranch that they do some filming at.
Oh, that's
dope. But for 1883, they filmed in Palestine. They filmed in Fort Worth, and they filmed in Granbury.
Oh, Uncle Mark's going to have to give me the hookup. I'd love to be in some type of something.
Yeah, I think he got to be in it because he kind of looks the part.
Oh, yeah. Like, talk about somebody who has the cowboy aesthetic. That's our Uncle Mark. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's get into Tombstone.
Let's get into it.
Do you have any memories that kind of pop into your head whenever you first think about it?
When I first think about it, it's just kind of the camaraderie and friendship that Wyatt and Doc have. Mm-hmm. They always have each other's back no matter what. And then kind of the family aspect of it, you've got Morgan and Wyatt, and then, oh my goodness.
Morgan and Virgil.
Virgil, yes, Sam Elliott. Mm-hmm. So the way that they all interact and everything kind of reminds me of how I got along with my siblings. Oh. So we always fought between each other, but we all, no matter what happened, you were always there for it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, no, that's nice. I was about to say, who's your Doc Holliday?
Right now, I honestly don't have one.
Yeah. Well, it can shift, honestly. Like, I'm sure the audience doesn't know, but I just moved down to the San Antonio area. And yeah, my Doc Holliday is now my twin again, my twin sister, Tanya.
Oh, gosh.
I know. We're troublemakers.
It's just dangerous.
It is dangerous. I think, you know.
Hey, but you know that she can kick anybody's butt that comes up against you. So.
Right, exactly. I don't have to fight myself. It's all Tanya.
Right.
We're actually, I think this bonus episode for this month, it's going to be about twins. And I'm going to have Tanya on, and we're going to talk about that for a little while. So
it'd be fun.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So why did you pick this movie, Uncle Wade?
Well, it was, I love Tombstone. It's just a great cowboy movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to make you watch 8 hours of Lonesome Dove. So
I've never heard of that one. I don't think I've heard the like Lonesome Dove name, like the movie, but I have no clue what it's about.
Oh my God. That started as a mini series on TV.
Oh.
And it was 4 nights. They went through, every night was 2 hours. Oh. So commercials and everything, you figure you've got an hour and a half of movie a night.
Right.
So it's more like 6 hours of movie.
Huh.
But every time it was on TV, we were watching. We were in the living room, just gathered around the TV, just staring at the TV.
Who plays in that?
Let's see. Robert Duvall, Tommy Lee Jones.
Ooh, heck of a combo.
Oh, yeah. There's just so many people thrown into that, but they are the two main characters in the show.
I love Robert Duvall. He's just a rugged old man, and he plays a good, even in the non-westerns, he's always such a good.
Oh yeah. Come on, he played James Earl Jones's brother.
Oh yeah, that is right. That is right. Well, that's cool. For me, you know, everybody talks about Tombstone, like the shootout at the OK Corral. Honestly, I didn't even know what part of the movie that was until like somebody pointed it out to me. I was like, okay, so that's the famous like shootout or whatever.
But... Oh, so the sign when they're walking up that says OK Corral. Didn't give it away.
Yeah, no. I was more looking at the dude who was like ducking his head into the barrel or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I clam.
But other than that, like I think of Westerns, obviously, and one of my favorites is I was gonna mention Deadwood earlier. I've never seen it, but I heard that was really
neither.
Good.
I've heard stories.
But one of my favorite Westerns is 3:10 to Yuma. Have you ever seen that one?
I have not seen that one.
Ooh, that one's Christian Bale.
I had it on my list to watch, and then well, life kind of got carried away.
Oh, I get that. I get that. Yeah, Christian Bale and Russell Crowe. That's the in that one. I love that movie. It's so good. It's like a what do you call it whenever you like somebody takes you hostage and you start feeling the feelings of the person who takes you hostage? I'm not sure exactly what it's called, but
I could ask your Aunt Jessica.
But yeah, so
she just walked in and
give you a little hello.
Kind of creep on us.
No. Oh. Hey, Jessica. Oh, my goodness. Well, okay. I am going to go ahead. This next part, we are going to just kind of recap the movie. I'm going to run through. I pulled it straight from Wikipedia, one of my favorite websites ever. But let's go ahead and get into it. So in 1879, members of the outlaw gang known to wear red sashes called the Cowboys, led by Curly Bill, ride into a Mexican town and interrupt a local police officer's wedding. They then proceed to massacre the assembly of policemen in retribution for killing two of their fellow gang members. Shortly before being shot, a local priest warns them that their acts of murder and savagery will be avenged, referencing the biblical fourth horseman. Wyatt Earp, a retired peace officer with a notable reputation, reunites with his brothers Virgil and Morgan in Tucson, Arizona, where they venture on to Tombstone to settle down. There they encounter Wyatt's longtime friend Doc Holliday, who is seeking relief in the dry climate from his worsening tuberculosis. Josephine Marcus and Mr. Fabian are also newly arrived with a traveling theater troupe. Meanwhile, Wyatt's common-law wife, Maddie Blaylock, is becoming dependent on laudanum. I think that's some sort of drug or something.
Opium.
Oh. Yeah, there is that part of the movie wherever that dude gets a little crazy and starts shooting at the moon.
That was not opium.
Oh. What was that then?
Oh, I'm not even sure. Laudanum they used, it was painkiller. It's like hydrocodone these days.
Oh.
But okay. It was liquid form.
Oh.
And highly addictive because it wasn't processed like it is now.
Interesting.
So they're saying a small tablespoon of that will knock your butt out.
Ooh, wow. Wyatt and his brothers begin to profit from a stake in a gambling emporium and saloon when they have their first encounter with the Cowboys. As tensions rise, Wyatt is pressured to help rid the town of the Cowboys, though he is no longer a lawman. Curly Bill begins shooting at the sky after a visit to an opium den. Ah, opium, I see. And is told by Marshal Fred White to relinquish his firearms. Curly Bill instead shoots the marshal dead and is forcibly taken into custody by Wyatt. The arrest infuriates Ike Clanton and the other cowboys. Curly Bill stands trial but is found not guilty due to lack of witnesses. Virgil, unable to tolerate lawlessness, becomes the new marshal and imposes a weapon ban within the city limits. This leads to a gunfight at the OK Corral, in which Billy Clanton and the McLaurie brothers, are killed. Virgil and Morgan are wounded, and the allegiance of County Sheriff John Behan, with the Cowboys... Behan with the Cowboys is made clear. As retribution for the Cowboys' death, Wyatt's brothers are ambushed. Morgan is killed, while Virgil is left handicapped. A despondent Wyatt and his family leave Tombstone and board a train with Ike Canton and Frank Stillwell close behind, preparing to ambush them. Wyatt sees that his family leaves safely and surprises the assassins. He kills Stillwell but lets Clanton live to send a message. Wyatt announces that he is the U.S. Marshal and that he intends to kill any man he sees wearing a red sash. Wyatt, Doc, a reformed cowboy named Sherman McMasters, Texas Jack Vermilion, and Turkey Creek Jack Johnson form a posse to seek revenge. Wyatt and his posse are ambushed in a riverside forest by the cowboys. Wyatt walks into the creek, miraculously surviving the enemy fire, and kills Curly Bill, along with many of his men. Curly Bill's second-in-command, Johnny Ringo, becomes the new head of the cowboys. When Doc's health worsens, the group is accommodated by Henry Hooker at his ranch. Ringo lures Masters into the cowboys' clutches under the pretense of a parley, and then sends a messenger to tell Wyatt that he wants a showdown to end the hostilities. Wyatt agrees. Wyatt sets off for the showdown, not knowing that Doc had already arrived at the scene. Doc confronts the surprised Ringo, who was expecting Wyatt, and challenges him to a duel to finish their quote-unquote game, which Ringo accepts. Wyatt runs when he hears a gunshot, only to encounter Doc, who has killed Ringo. They then press on to complete their task of eliminating the cowboys, although Clanton escapes their vengeance by renouncing his red sash. Doc is sent to a sanatorium in Colorado where he dies of his illness. At Doc's urging, Wyatt pursues Josephine to begin a new life. So, yeah, that's just kind of a really quick overview of the whole movie, which is honestly a roller coaster, to be honest. It's a longer movie. So, like, that's, you know, at first I was kind of dissuaded by how long it was going to be, but it's longer movies. They push my buttons because it's like, come on, just get the story out. But I think this one was appropriately paced until that kind of last part, because that last scene, it's just him and Josephine like getting together, like all lovey-dovey and stuff. And like, I think they go and move like to some like Utah or something. I'm not even sure, but. What do you think of that?
I want to say they stayed in California.
But, California.
Because he befriended a bunch of actors.
Right. He was like.
And everything.
He was a, what do you call it? Like a consultee.
He was
or
like
something.
A consultant. Yeah. Where he could, they would sit there and ask him about how was this in whenever you were Marshall.
Right.
And he would sit there and, but yeah, whenever he met Josephine in California, and at the very end of the movie, they're sitting there and they're going through where they're dancing in the street. That was back to the bar whenever she first came into town. And she came in with Behan. Right. And saw Wyatt sitting at the bar and asked him to dance.
Right.
And he told her no.
That was, they were like, though he was like shacked up with that other lady, he was like, well, I still have like some sort of feelings for you or whatever. To be honest, that's kind of like the relationship throughout the movie that I didn't care for. I was honestly more interested in Doc Holliday and his gal. I don't remember her name at all, but she was almost as bad as he was.
Oh yeah, she was rough.
I love that part whenever they're like speaking Latin, like to Ringo and mm-hmm. Doc Holliday are like speaking Latin to one another. She like kind of steps out of the way.
Yeah,
she's like, I think I'm going to get in between you and Wyatt or whatever because I can see something might happen.
This may end up in gunplay.
Right. I like that part too, because Wyatt has like the shotgun under the table, like on the hook or whatever. I always thought
that was a very normal thing back then. Really? Because you didn't know who was coming up to your table to gamble.
That is true.
And being Tombstone was a town that came about because of the silver rush.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And everything. People were there spending money that they had just found in the ground.
Right.
So there, you may have people that are just sitting there just trying to
swindle,
to just rob you blind.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to have that shotgun under the table.
Right. That, and even speaking to that point, like, I think like when we first meet Doc Holliday, that's whenever, who do you call it, comes in. or like you meet Doc Holliday and he's like having an argument with some dude over like
over the cards
yep. And he like that's when you realize how fast Doc Holliday is mm-hmm. and just like whipped out his guns. He's like you know, throws it on the table. He says some smart ass comment.
and then he just set his guns on the table
mm-hmm. and stabs
and then he's like, Now we can be friends.
And then, like, once he lunges,
he pulls the knife and kills him.
Yeah. I think out of let's kind of go down. I think the main people. Let's start with Doc Holliday, since we're already talking about him.
Okay.
What do you think about his character, and Val Kilmer specifically?
Well, Val Kilmer as an actor is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Top Gun, the Tombstone, even Batman.
Oh yeah, yeah. You like that Batman one?
No, not really. But, no. but it just shows that he's not just one person,
right?
Yeah, and he even like had character. The movie The Saint.
They call it character actor or whatever.
Spy.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You mentioned Top Gun, and that I love
Iceman.
Yeah, Iceman. Yeah, that's one of the movies I did with a friend, Riley. He actually, that's the one guy I mentioned that works at Lockheed at that same place. He just like works in a different area or something. But yeah. He's the one I watched Top Gun with. And honestly, okay. I couldn't even tell that was Val Kilmer during the whole thing. Like, it looks like a completely different person.
Oh, yeah, because he was all muscled up and
pale.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pale.
But yeah. But, well, and in Tombstone, he did have that mustache and goatee.
That is true. So. That is true. Yeah. Once you throw in some features, it kind of changes it up. So
yeah, a little bit.
So what do you think about our main character, Wyatt Earp?
Kurt Russell. Yeah. He did a great portrayal of Wyatt Earp. He just the mannerisms that he has, he actually showed on there the depth that Wyatt Earp had.
Right.
That he wanted to be a family man.
Right.
But he knew that he had to uphold the law. He had to be there and back his brothers whenever Virgil took over as marshal. Mm-hmm. So he had to step in because that's what he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He kind of took his brothers back or whatever. And honestly, like I was just thinking that, you know, whenever, he almost gets ambushed whenever he's sending Virgil off, after I forget the other dude's name, what was it? Morgan, or after he dies and Virgil is sent off. I love that part because like, you can see that Wyatt Earp is just so freaking mad. Like it, in your soul, like hell's coming with me. Like I could like feel that emotion. And I think Kurt Russell just kills it in it. Especially with that mustache. So
I can't grow a mustache like that.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I put in here mustache mania. I was like, I don't know if I've ever. I'm not a mustache man. I can't do that.
No, and most of the lawmen back then had facial hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you didn't take the time to shave, it took too long.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of mustaches, Sam Elliott, who always kills it with the mustache. What do you think of him playing Virgil?
Oh, Sam Elliott is good in anything he's in. And anything I've ever seen him in, he does a great job. He gets into his roles.
Oh, yeah.
And with this, yeah, if you watch 1883, it's the same guy.
Yeah, yeah, he plays the same
but
type of...
just not a lawman.
Right.
He was... In 1883, he was part of the army, and so they call him what was it, Captain?
Oh, okay.
They always refer to him as Captain.
Hmm.
So,
yeah,
anything that he's in, he does good.
I have a question. Have you ever seen on Netflix? I think it's called The Ranch.
No, I have not.
So
I think your Aunt Jessica has seen some of it.
They, it's like kind of like That 70s Show, but it's like they're on a ranch or whatever. And he is so funny in that show. I just, you were talking about him getting into character. Like, he's a funny man. Like, I didn't think that, like, he could pull that off, because I always thought of him as more of a serious actor, like, you know, like Uncle Mark, like a classic Western, like, you know, geared person. But during, well, I mean, I guess he is a little like cowboyish in the ranch or whatever, but like, he's doing more comedy than serious acting, I guess I would say.
Come on. He did comic book stuff too.
Did he?
What was it? Thunderbird Ross.
No clue.
And the Hulk.
No clue. Oh, yeah. Oh, the general. Yeah. The general.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You're right. I forgot about that.
And then they replaced him.
Yeah, right. That other guy who plays Thunderbird Ross is, he's not too bad in it either, I think.
No, he's not. He does a good job.
Yeah. Finally, we get to Bill Paxton playing Morgan Earp.
Morgan.
Poor guy dies in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, but he also said there, right before he died, he was sitting there telling Wyatt, he's like, "You're always the one, Wyatt." Because his mom always told him that what he was going to do, and he was going to be a great lawman and everything. So that's what that reference was from.
Do you know what else Bill Paxton is in?
He played in Twister.
Oh.
He played in Independence Day.
Oh, wait, is he the president?
No.
Oh, I love that speech in Independence
Day. No, I'm trying to think of what he played in. I think he just had a random role in Independence Day.
I think, wait, what was that previous? Is it Twister? Twister. Oh my gosh.
Twister.
I will always be like traumatized by that movie, Twister, just because I remember one time we were at not your mom's place, like our grandma, say my grandma, your mom. But we were over at our grandma's place, and I remember like a Twister coming through, like coming down in Little Elm, Texas.
Oh, Granny Lizzie.
Yeah, and it just like busting in the windows, and I think of Twister every time because I'm just like, oh my god, that was some pretty traumatic stuff.
That's not something you want to go through in a trailer house.
Yeah, not exactly. It was like, talk about go to the bathroom and you need to calm down.
Yeah,
get in the tub.
Hey, we have tornadoes around here, and I'm outside trying to see them, and everybody else is in the closet going, "Oh, right. Get here."
A real Texan.
Right.
But let's see. I, you know, had a few notes. We're kind of done with the actors, but I wanted to say, like, it was giving me really classic Western vibes whenever they first entered the town.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, I just need, like, some sort, like, source of revenue or whatever. So they, like, I think they casually mentioned that like, there's two saloons or whatever, and one's not doing so hot, and then the other one's, like, where the cowboys hang out. And then they completely turn around that other one. He's like, I just want to I think he saves them, like, from somebody comes in, just, like, an asshole or something to the bartender, and he, like, helps him out with it. And he's like, here you go. Here's your steak in the bar.
it was Billy Bob Thornton. He was the faro dealer that, he was dirty dealing at the table, and he was just yelling at everybody. He had a, I guess, one of his friends sitting there, and he was just smoking a cigar, and he's like, "Get that cigar out of my face."
Oh,
he's like, "It's like I'm playing cards with my brother's kids." And so Wyatt walks up and he tells him, he's like, "I just want you to know you're sitting in my chair."
Mm.
Is that so?
Right.
And then he proceeds, he's like, what was it? He said, you sure run your mouth for somebody who doesn't go heels.
Right.
Which is carrying a gun. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't need to go heels to get the drop on a basically Catman like you.
Right. That's whenever he starts like slapping the dude. He's like, do something.
Yeah. And then Billy Bob Thornton takes and pulls his, uncovers his pistol.
Mm-hmm.
And Wyatt just starts slapping on him.
Yeah. Yeah. That part's
and
funny.
He's like, are you gonna do something or just stand there and bleed?
Right. Yeah. I love that. I was watching, so I watched the movie like, I think it was like last week or a week and a half ago, but I was watching clips right before and I watched, right before we started, watched a, you know, the few clips here and there just to get me in the mood or whatever. And that was one of the scenes I watched and I was like, oh my gosh, that's another scene that I think Wyatt or Kurt Russell just kills it. And cause he's like, that's that you can see the emotion in his, you know, demeanor or whatever. And, such good acting in this movie. All around. So,
Absolutely.
Let's see. I put a question here. So Uncle Wade, would you want to live back in like the 1800s, that kind of time, like saloon, you know, Wild West type, you know, scenery?
I think I would do great back then.
Yeah, you think so?
But I don't know if I, you know, the weather was different. So it wasn't near as hot as it is now.
Right.
And I'm a big guy. I sweat.
Yeah, I'd say.
I don't like the heat. But sitting there having to watch your back constantly, I don't think I would like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would do fine, but
right.
Yeah, I don't like watching my back all the time.
That's, yeah, whenever those topics of conversation come around, like, oh, would you live back then? Or, like, I think of Wild West. I think of, like, the Victorian era as well. I wouldn't want to be, like, bourgeoisie and, like, die. But, like,
right.
It always comes up. And I think it would be fun living back then. Like you said, I think, yeah, looking over your shoulder would probably be the worst part of it. But you're a little bit more free to do what you want, especially in the Wild West. So,
yeah, if I can choose exactly where I'm going to,
mm-hmm.
and that I'm going to be able to be on a farm and just sit there and have the time that I want. Okay, yeah, I'm great. But if I'm going to be a gunslinger, no, I'm good.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't want to be a Doc Holliday and always be like making enemies wherever I go.
There's always going to be somebody faster than you are.
That is true. That is true.
Doc's was just tuberculosis.
Right. And actually, that leads right into my last little point here was whenever Doc was going down with the tuberculosis or whatever, whenever he was in the hospital, he was wearing like this robe or whatever and like a red, I think it was like a maroon vest or something. And I was like, dude, yeah. I gotta have that vest. It's just, it looks so good. Oh my goodness. It looked good on him. It'll look good on me, right?
because he had so much money from his gambling and everything, he was basically giving away his money,
right?
And everything. But he always had nice things. He always had nice things to wear.
Mm-hmm.
So
had nice
I think once he went into the sanatorium, Wyatt set him up because mm-hmm. he gave all of his money to Wyatt.
Oh, really?
Because
I didn't know that.
To take care of his business.
Oh.
Because nobody was there to take care of it for him.
Oh.
And that's basically why Wyatt kept going to see him in the sanatorium was it was the last person he had.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's, you know, that's an unbreakable bond, especially if you go, you know, so especially back then, like I can only imagine, like once you find somebody who's you're like thick as thieves with, then like you're going to stick it out or whatever. So that was nice. I like their dynamic, Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp. I like that relationship.
So. Well, the last time that Wyatt went to see Doc, he told him, he's like, go live your life. And Wyatt's like, where am I supposed to go? And he said, go chase that, what was it? That redheaded vixen from
Josephine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but it was a reference to whenever they went and saw that play.
Oh.
And where she played the devil.
Oh, that is right. That is right.
And that's what that reference was to.
Reminds me of that one movie with, what's his name from Brendan Fraser? I think it's called Bewitched, where the lady plays the devil or whatever.
Where he makes a deal with the devil.
Yeah,
and I can't even remember her name now.
Yeah, me either.
But yeah, that that does make me think of that. But yeah.
All right, cool. So let's go ahead and get into our likes. For me personally, it's a classic Western. That it's kind of needless to say, but I think specifically I like it a lot because of Doc Holliday. Doc Holliday is my favorite character throughout the whole thing. Even though, you know, Wyatt Earp's the main character, I'd say. It's also a little graphic. They show a little bit more, and that's kind of why I like 310 to Yuma as well. Like I mentioned earlier, it's a little bit more graphic, and they don't have to like. I see all these like the old Westerns, and they kind of like pan the camera over to something else while they like shoot them, or like you just see them like dead on the ground. You're not seeing like nothing. Not that I enjoy the graphic stuff. Like it's nice to see it rather than, but, you know, like it be implied.
Yeah. They kind of showed the gunmanship that they had back then, because whenever Marshal Fred got shot, he'd sitting there and he had his guns like he was going to hand them over. He had them flipped backwards.
Right.
And then he just flipped it up and shot him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's multiple points in this where they show, like, especially, I think it was at the OK Corral and then at the final with Ringo and Doc, that final showdown or whatever. They show like headshots or whatever. And I'm like, ooh, especially like that last one. He's like, come on with it. Like he shot him in the head and he's like fumbling towards him. I was like, oh my gosh, that's that is graphic. Yeah, that's a little graphic. But
yeah,
nonetheless, yeah. Yeah, other than that,
the fact of what they showed, and that was when movies were starting to turn and they were starting to be more graphic and everything, because that, I think Tombstone turned the corner, and actually, because I believe it won an award for best picture or something. Right. But it was because of the cinematography.
Ooh, and see, that's perfect, because that's the next part I had is like one of my favorite parts is the cinematography of the movie. It's just you think of the Wild West and you think like wide open landscapes. They have, you know, these panning shots or whatever of that, and then of the town itself, Tombstone, the town itself, and even whenever you kind of walk, whenever they walk into the saloons or whatever, you get this nice pan of the whole thing. And I really enjoyed that part of it as well. So yeah. What about you?
Oh, yeah.
What are some of your favorite parts of the movie?
Just the way they filmed it. It, because from the scene on the train when they're coming into town and everything, and Wyatt jumps off and is going back there to get his horse, because the guy unloading his horse is just sitting there beating him with it, beating him with the reins. And he grabs it and smacks the guy with it. And he's like, how do you like it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And basically just showing him, okay, I'm going to treat you a certain way to get the result I want.
Right.
Now, if you're wanting to unload this horse off of a train car, you're not going to sit there and beat it. Just take it and walk it off the train car. The story that they told was fantastic. So,
you know what's nice? Something I didn't kind of – I've slowly realized is that, like, I loved how at the start of the movie you kind of get this rumblings of like he's a famous, like he's already a famous lawman, and they
already went through his career,
right?
He was the lawman in Dodge City, Kansas,
mm-hmm.
and that's where he retired from. That's where they gave him the pistol, the peacemaker.
Oh, and like I like how they didn't go into that much, because I kind of just liked it being like, oh, okay, he's a cool, like, we don't need to go into that. It's a story of here and now and not necessarily what he used to do. So I was like, I mean, it does, you know, a little bit later go into it, but
there's a whole different movie for that.
Yeah, I think it's
Kevin Costner's Wyatt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Isn't that the one just called Wyatt or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe so. It may be Wyatt Earp, but it's Kevin Costner.
Oh, okay. I think I'll have to watch that one here soon. But Uncle Wade, I like it a lot.
It's longer than this one.
Yeah, right. Oh God. Oh yeah. So I like a lot, but I also dislike a lot. I thought the movie was a little bit too long. Like I was saying, like I think they could have chopped up, like I put the movie in like three like segments or whatever. Like that last segment, you could have, like with him at the sanatorium, we could have wrapped that up a little bit, and then especially like that final scene, we probably could just cut that out.
No, you can't cut out Josephine Marcus.
Yeah, you gotta go full circle with it, so I understand why they did it, but it did drag a little towards the end. Because I thought, honestly, the OK Corral, that was like the high point. And then that's whenever it started, like, didn't think like a roller coaster metaphor. That's what OK Corral, it was like the tippy top. And then you're just like, whoa, OK, here we go.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that the OK Corral was the high part, but it was definitely one of the first drops of that roller coaster.
Right.
When he was at the train station and he let Ike Clanton go,
mm-hmm.
that's where the movie started rolling downhill.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because they were wrapping stuff up. You're being snuck up on.
Oh, I sure am. There's a kitty right here. I didn't even notice the cat was in the room.
You didn't hear it?
No, not at all. Not at all. I have my headphones in, so I only hear my voice and yours.
I heard it.
Ooh, man, you're good with that.
Yeah. You said they could have cut Josephine out. Because if you look at the relationship between Wyatt Earp and Maddie Blaylock,
mm-hmm.
That was a really, really bad relationship. It was set up. It was a set up relationship,
mm-hmm.
and neither one of them was really happy. Mm. And then Maddie got hooked on opium because she would get headaches. Mm. She suffered from migraine.
Right.
But they didn't know that at the time. They just, okay, got headaches here, use this.
Hmm.
And yeah, she went through a full bottle and got a brand new bottle whenever they got to Tombstone.
Oh, wow.
And that's supposed to last you for quite a while.
Right.
But she was just drinking it.
Yeah. I think one of the only times you see her in the movie is, her laying in bed with the, you know, the headache or whatever.
And she was completely high.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
She was completely high on opium.
But, and Wyatt's trying to talk, and she's like, well, I don't know who you are. I mean, she knows who he had
started talking to Josephine,
mm-hmm.
and everything. But Josephine took him and completely changed the trajectory of his life. Because if he had stayed with Maddie, he would have ended up dead.
Right.
Because he would have been so focused on how bad off she is and everything. So whenever they sent her off with Virgil,
mm-hmm.
and everything, she overdosed not long after.
Oh, I see.
And everything. So he got his mind set on Josephine and started thinking, okay, I've got to get this in order. I've got to get this figured out. And so he took off and started doing a lawman's work. And that's why when at the sanatorium, he didn't know where he needed to go.
Right.
And it took Doc pointing him in the right direction, saying, hey, she's right over there waiting on you.
Right. And it's fun that like advice or whatever. It's fun that even I can think of people in my life who have given me advice like that. And I'm like, okay, like it wasn't there in my mind, like to, you know, do that option, whatever it may have been, but it's nice to hear other people's opinions and that, especially somebody so close like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and even from one of the lawman's standpoints, one of the deputies of Behan was Jason Priestley's character.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't understand why Behan was doing what he was doing, backing the Cowboys and everything that they were doing. And then whenever he was escorting the actors and everything, and they shot the lead actor, Billy Zane's character.
Right.
Ha ha. As you like that, I know who Billy Zane
is.
But they shot him and killed him. And then whenever Wyatt comes up and everything to see what had happened, Josephine told him he tried to bring something beautiful into the world, and they hated him for it, and they killed him.
Yeah.
So, what they were just bad people. They were just bad off, and they just wanted bad things to happen.
Yeah.
So, well,
so let's. I think that this discussion has been awesome, but let's go ahead and get into our closing segments.
All right.
We have an awards segment, and the first one is a classic or a bust. And honestly, for me, it's a classic. This is a classic movie, classic
absolutely.
Western. If you have not seen this movie and you've listened to the podcast this far, I don't know what you're doing, but go ahead and go watch it because it is a good one.
Turn this off, go watch it, and then come back and listen.
Right, exactly. Listen to the podcast again. I think you'll get more enjoyment.
You'll understand it.
Right. The next award is the Least Important Character Award. And I honestly, it has to go to either of the ladies, Josephine or Doc Holliday's shtick, because like she's in the movie like for a couple scenes, like that one wherever they're speaking Latin or whatever, and whatever, I think it's him playing the piano at one part,
yes.
She like goes and like puts her back on him or whatever, but like I think those two, it's like a throw up for me, like I think either of those could have been cut out.
because you really needed her in that first scene where they introduced Doc into it whenever they're playing cards,
right,
and everything, because she came up and sat down on his lap and he's like, Kate, it's Kate.
Ah,
he's right. Like, you're not wearing a bustle, which back in those days, they had that deal in their dress that stuck out way back behind them.
Mm-hmm,
and she didn't have one on. And it was because she had gotten the horses. And they were all waiting outside, and you cannot ride in a bustle.
Mm-mm.
So,
wow.
So yeah, she was taking care of business. she was his right hand man. She knew what was going down.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, well, okay, I was about to say Bill Paxton's character, like he was the least important of the.
Well, he had to die.
Yeah, so, he had to die to make the point. So,
I don't.
What about you? Who do you think is the least important character in this?
Least important character.
I think maybe even it's not the Marshall. Fred White was the Marshall, right?
Right.
The other guy who is the
Behan,
the sheriff. Yeah, he's yeah.
I think he was the county marshal.
Right, and he. Doesn't he flip, or he had been flipped or whatever? Like, he was on the Cowboys side for a little while.
Oh, he was always on the Cowboys side.
Yeah, I think just like making the
constantly because whenever Fred got shot,
mm-hmm.
he said, This isn't the county matter, this is a city matter.
Oh, right, right.
Then that's what got Fred shot, is he sent him out there. to deal with it.
Right.
Because he's like, this isn't a county matter. This is a city matter.
Right. Partially, not least important character, but most hated character.
Yes, he is definitely the most hated. I can't think of maybe one of the stand-in characters that was just off to the side.
Right.
Yeah, I think everybody needed to be in it that was there for the story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When we get to this, we always have a tough time trying to figure out who is least important. But in this movie,
the extras.
There's a lot. Yeah, exactly. last award is a standout moment of the movie. I think I'll let you go first on that one.
Standout moment. I'm going with the train station when Wyatt kills Stillwell and lets Ike go and tells him to let him know I'm coming.
Hell's coming
and
with
hell's
me.
Coming with me.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll say
just the emotion on his face. You have messed with my family. And now I'm going to kill you.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a great portion. But I think for me, it's definitely it's the portion where Fred White dies and he tells not Curly Bill, I can't remember that, Ike Clanton, I think it was.
Ike Clanton.
Yeah, he's like, I'll put your, you know, I'll make your head into a canoe before all your friends get me. I think that's a great part, but I think for this award, I think I'll have to put it at the OK Corral shootout. That was, you know,
you can just feel the tension.
Mm-hmm. It's that classic, you know, you pan to one character and they like dart their eyes towards it. It's like the classic shootout scene. And I was just like, oh, that's such a, I think they've ramped it up for, you know, this movie in particular. Like, I think
you
definitely pointed it out earlier, and I've been thinking on it. It was during the 90s that it kind of just movies in general got a little bit more darker and a little bit more grittier, a little bit more graphic.
Well, they actually started telling the story. Right. They stopped skirting across things and started telling the story.
Right. That's when it kind of like initiated, and that's, if we want to use the roller coaster metaphor, that's when it started to, you know, first big hill. So, yeah, I love that part. But
that tension at the OK Corral, whenever you just sit there and you feel it building up, and then Wyatt winks at Billy Clanton,
right,
and he's just like, oh, boom.
Right.
So Clanton shot first.
Mm-hmm. once Doc winked at him, it was game over.
Right. Yeah. But he knew he wouldn't play it anymore.
Yeah. So the last closing segment is our trivia section. And for me, I pulled from IMDb, and I wrote here that when Virgil returns to the saloon and collapses after being shot, Kurt Russell accidentally bangs Sam Elliott's head on the bar whenever he like goes to like pick him up and then lay him down flat. He like bangs Sam Elliott's head on the bar. And I was like, oh man, that's just a funny like take or whatever. He must have been like, what the fuck? But
and the whole thing is once you know that, you can't unsee it in the movie.
Right.
So every time it happens, it's like, oh. But yeah, so.
What about you?
I have two things for you.
Oh, do you?
When Wyatt is standing there talking and he is rolling that coin between his fingers.
Oh, right. Yeah. I like that.
That was not scripted.
Really?
That it was a nervous thing that he did.
Oh.
And then the whole thing with Johnny Ringo at the last shootout is they didn't find him in a grove of trees. A farmer was actually riding by on his wagon and saw Johnny Ringo propped up on a stump.
Oh.
With a gunshot wound to his head.
Oh.
And they figured it was suicide.
Interesting. That's something I didn't know. You've given a lot of a little backstory into some of it, because I have, like I said, this is the first time I'm seeing it, and it's nice to have those little tiny threads. So, but I think that kind of brings us towards the end. Firstly, thank you for listening to this week's episode of the You Haven't Seen That Movie podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Also, a big thank you to my guest, Wade Lynch, today for joining me. I had a great time.
I did too. It was fun.
Yeah. If you want to show your support for the You Haven't Seen That Movie podcast, consider checking out our Patreon at patreon.com/WDM1. Also, join our Facebook and Instagram pages to know when new episodes go live. Like this movie, hate it, let us know by calling our voicemail. Both Instagram and Facebook have call buttons, so it couldn't be easier. But other than that, we'll see y'all next week. Bye-bye. The You Haven't Seen That Movie podcast is a bi-weekly podcast recorded in the DFW, Austin, and San Antonio areas in the state of Texas. The podcast is hosted, produced, and edited by me, David Lonnie Waters. As you know, all of our shows are fan-funded on Patreon at patreon.com/WDM1. The following names are at the producer support level or higher on Patreon, and for that, we're stoked for your sponsorship. Lone Star Aeronautics, Sharon, and Keegan Gunther.